Welcome to the Disney View Podcast. Dave is a dreamer and an engineer. He's a one-time cast member, and he's been to Disney World literally hundreds of times. Listen in as he talks about one of his favorite things, the Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando, and occasionally beyond the Orlando theme park. And now, here's your host.
Please stand clear of the podcaster. Por favor, manténganse alejado del David.
Hey everyone, it's Dave. Welcome to another edition of Dave's Disney View Podcast. Well, I did promise that on a future podcast, I would talk about Cars Land. The unfortunate thing is that I don't have many opportunities to travel to California and can't get out to Disneyland, so I really can't provide much of a report about that. But I do like to give a little love to the mother park, if you will, the one that started it all. So to help me out on this journey, I've invited Kurt back. Kurt's a regular to the show, of course. I'm sure you'll recognize his voice in a moment. And Kurt was recently in Disneyland and had an opportunity to visit Cars Land, so I wanted to get his thoughts and perspective. So let's bring him on. Kurt, how is everything going today?
Everything's going just great, Dave. How's it going with you?
Not too bad. So you took a trip recently to Disneyland. You were fortunate enough to be able to get out there, and I wondered if you could give some thoughts and perspective on what Disneyland is, considering you're a Disney World veteran and, you know, kind of like me, that's your favorite park. Just wondered if you could give us some perspective on what it's all about.
Sure. Okay, first of all, disclaimer, I am a Disney World veteran. I grew up in South Florida. I started going to Disney World in 1971. The first time I was ever at Disneyland was in 1988. So I have kind of a bias toward the Florida parks. So please have your listeners take that into account when they hear what I have to say.
But, excellent. Okay. No, that's good because I don't have much perspective on it. I haven't been there since 72 was the last time I was in Disneyland. So that doesn't really help a whole lot.
Right. So I do have a bias toward the Florida parks. So if I say anything that's not entirely complimentary to Disneyland, I apologize for you Disneyland fans out there. But we spent 2 days, one day in Disney's California Adventure and one day at Disneyland about a month ago, just after Cars Land is open. Me and my 11-year-old tour guide daughter, who I just gave the map to because she was better at reading the map than I was. But we started off at Disneyland California Adventure, and of course, it was only about 10 days after they had opened Cars Land. So, needless to say, it was jammed with people. But we got to ride everything we wanted to ride, and we had a great time. The way the whole setup there is of course completely different, which is one of the reasons that Disney World exists at all, because Walt, I know, wasn't terribly thrilled at the way the way things sprung up around Disneyland.
Right.
You know, the history of it is that Walt was kind of disappointed at a lot of the shops and sort of strip malls and stuff that sprung up around Disneyland. And of course, if you drive down there, if you drive to Disneyland, you see that all around. You know, the Harbor Boulevard, which goes down the east side of Disneyland Park, is just, you know, one motel after another, strip mall after another, and you know, you can walk across the street into the park gate from those hotels. So you know, everything is really, really close and really compact there. So they have problems, I'm sure, down there with space. You know, when they want to put in something like Cars Land, it's not like Florida where they can just go out in the back and, you know, push out another 150 acres.
Right.
They have to take what they've got and rearrange it somehow, or rebuild it, or otherwise redo it, because they can't push out it. So, you know, everything is very compact and very, very tightly kind of compressed into this one area. And I think that's the biggest thing you notice when you're out there. If you're a Florida park person, you know, it's the compactness. And right. Of course, it's still Disney. Obviously, Disney, you have no doubts where you are. And Disneyland, of course, is a place where Walt actually walked. You know, he passed away before the Magic Kingdom was opened in Florida.
So. Right. So that makes it kind of special in its own way.
It is. It's definitely special in its own way. You know, the first day we were there, we went to California Adventure, went straight to Cars Land. We were there at Rope Top. And, of course, we got in line at Cars Land, and the first thing we wanted to do was ride the racers that they have there, the new ride. It's the big ride. It's called...
The one where they actually have I've lost the name of it too just now. It was on the tip of my tongue.
You actually ride the race cars. You actually ride in Lightning McQueen and in Sally through Ornament Valley. And it's an amazing ride. The ride system is the same one that they have on Test Track, basically. You know, it's the same cars, the same six-passenger cars, three in front, three in back, same kind of track. The difference, the primary difference is that, of course, they don't have a lot of room, so it's a lot more twisty and turny and up and down, and you get up to about 35 miles an hour, which is pretty quick, especially when you're in an open car vehicle like that. But,
right.
You know, compared to Test Track in Florida that gets up to 65, you don't quite get that speed, that thrill. But it was a great ride. You know, you spent about half of it inside. You know, we were in line for about an hour and a half for it. But, you know, 10 or 15 minutes of that was also the ride was temporarily, you know, they had to halt it for 10 minutes for whatever reasons. It was a great, great ride. And we enjoyed it. But, you know, again, if you compare it to Test Track, you don't get that one, you know, the long 65-mile-an-hour straightaway. So
right.
Here's you see what Test Track does to, because I know they're undergoing renovation down there, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, right after we got in line for it, they kicked the standby line wait time up to 2.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, there were so many people there, and pretty much everybody was headed there first. So, and the fast passes sold out by, like, 9:30 a.m. So, you know, it was a great ride. You know, just to back up a minute, you know, Cars Land itself, I'm sure your readers out there have heard, it's laid out just like Radiator Springs is laid out in the movie. And as you walk and you come up to where the road starts to go down Radiator Springs and you just look down, it looks exactly like you're standing in the movie.
That's awesome.
They've done some incredible things with forced perspective and placing the buildings and everything and creating Ornament Valley just like it is in the movie. So you really feel like you're in the middle of the movie. It's an incredible piece of architecture that they've done there, Disney architecture, you know. And you walk down the street and you walk by Flo's Cafe and you walk by the Sarge's Hut and you walk by the Cozy Cone Motel on the left. And it, again, if you look at the movie and you look at the layout, it's exactly duplicated. And it really is incredible. It's just an incredible piece of work that they've done there.
And I was going to say, right when it opened, they did. They were showing Cars on ABC, and they did a interstitial piece between some of the commercial segments, where Larry the Cable Guy, who does the voice of Tomater, was there in
right.
the park, and he was kind of walking around. And it was, you know, it was obviously set up, and it was great angles and everything. But you got that feeling like you were in Radiator Springs, and it looked really cool.
It does.
And my son, who's a big Cars fan, goes, "Can we go?" So it certainly had that feeling like it was there.
Yes, absolutely. And like I said, you feel like you're right in the movie. And, you know, unlike some other places I could name, that there aren't any, you know, you don't look around a corner and suddenly you're taken out of the moment. You know, there aren't any bare facades.
That's cool.
And like I said, when we were standing in line for the racers, the Radiator Springs racer ride, the main one, which is all the way down at the end. Of course, the queues are, you know, they're standard Disney queues, but they have some great vistas there. And I swear, you feel like you're standing in the desert somewhere looking up, because the way they've built the buttes and the things right out of the movie, it really is amazing forced perspective. You really feel like you're out in the middle of. And again, there isn't anything to distract you, you know. And each of the buildings there, right out of Radiator Springs, has a purpose. You know, you have Luigi's Tires is a ride. You have the Luigi's Tire ride, and then you have the Mater's Junkyard ride, and then you also have the Cozy Cone motel is actually a food counter service food place, but each of the cones in the Cozy Cone is a different little counter service or a quick service cone that has different things in it. So you go to one and it's churros, and you go to another and they have frozen concoctions to beat the heat. And I had a wonderful little frozen apple juice drink that was, you know, sort of like a Slurpee, but made with apple juice, so healthy, you know. And that's really interesting. So it's really quite a terrific setup that they've got there. They did a great job with it.
That's really cool. Yeah, I didn't know that about the each of the Cozy Cone motel buildings there. That's very clever that they did that.
Well, they've done it. You know, they split it up. You know, so like Sarge's Hut is a shop where you can buy, you know, Disney stuff and Cars Land stuff, and then Flo's Cafe is a cafe. You know, it's got an inside counter service restaurant. You can go in there and have you know, lunch, and they've got the standard stuff, but they've also got some unique stuff. And then they've got, they've got Doc's Garage there, which is also a store, you know, for Disney stuff. And so it kind of alternates as you go down, you know, one's a quick service place and one's a store, and then there's a ride and so on. But there's also a lot of little places, like they've got the fire truck from the movie, and every now and then he'll shoot out water, so you can get a little splash when you walk by there. So
cool.
And of course, they're all, you know, like the fire truck doesn't just squirt water. You know, his eyes move and he looks and he talks, and so they, you know, that when they have the cars and the characters, they're actually animated. So it's not, you know, they're not static. So you get a real interesting perspective on it. And they also have a plaque there and some information as you're standing in the queue for the racers about how Ornament Valley was founded. And, you know, the founder, of course, in the Cars movie, you see him briefly. You see the statue of him, you know, at the end of the street there. But they don't actually talk about, you know, where it came from. But if you're standing in the queue for the racers, you can learn about all how it was founded and how he drove out and ran out of water and then found the springs, you know, hence Radiator Springs.
Right, right.
So it's just fascinating. And, of course, it's got all the Disney touches that you want. And, you know, just a wonderful, wonderful area.
See, I love that about Disney, that they, you know, they always provide, there's so much more than just an area or an attraction. There's always the backstory that goes with it. There's something that, like, makes the story compelling and makes it all kind of fit together. And to that end, they did, in that same Cars movie that they showed with the Larry the Cable Guy, they had one new Cars short that they did. It was one of Tomater's Tall Tales. And they put that in there at the end of the movie or near the end of the movie. And it was the guy who founded Radiator Springs. And the whole story there about how he met the old lady in the story and how that all kind of developed. And, you know, and it's the whole thing about Tomater saying to Lightning McQueen, McQueen says, "Well, that can't be true." He goes, "Of course it is. You were there." And they do the whole thing. It's very cute. And I think it's available now. But it tells the backstory, which is great. I mean, it kind of fills in some of the gaps about how this came along.
And it's actually over in another part of the park. There's a Radiator Springs, what do they call it, historical museum, I think they call it. It's actually not in Radiator Springs. It's over in another part of the park. So if you could find that, we just kind of walked by it and looked at it. But if you could find that, you know, that's something that you can check out, too, while you're there. And, you know, as you go in the California Adventure, of course, you just basically go down the Buena Vista Street there and you kind of bear to the right and you're headed right for Radiator Springs. So, and you'll know it when you see it, obviously. But, it's classic Disney and it's wonderful.
That's awesome. You know, it sounds like so much fun. And, you know, that's one of those things that I would really like to see at some point. It's just a matter of timing and being able to get out to California and, you know, all the nature of that. Because, you know, it's tricky sometimes.
It absolutely is. You know, it just so happened that we were out there for a business conference, and I figured that while I was out there, I should take the opportunity, which turned out to be the right thing to do.
Sure, yeah. I can't say I blame you. I always try to take advantage of things when I can when I'm on a business trip.
Sure.
Makes it all so much worthwhile.
Yep.
So what did you think about Disneyland overall, heading over into the Disneyland park?
Disneyland, of course, you know, it's the Magic Kingdom, but it's kind of in miniature. You know, it's, again, everything is a lot more compressed. So Main Street USA feels smaller and tighter. And you walk down the street. We were walking down the street. My daughter and I were walking down the street. Of course, she's been to the Magic Kingdom probably a dozen times. And the first time she was two. And, you know, so she's grown up with that. So we walked down and I said, hey, wow, look at the castle. That's the original castle. She looked at it and she goes, oh, how sad.
And your reaction was probably sad?
Yeah. Well, her, you know, she's used to Cinderella's castle,
sure,
which is 189 feet tall, right?
Right.
And now she sees Sleeping Beauty's castle, and it's 75 feet tall, right? So, you know, from her perspective, it was this tiny little castle, and it was, like, sad in the sense of, oh, poor thing, you know, like you...
That's funny.
So Disneyland people, don't email me. This is my daughter said this. And I know everybody has their own favorite castle and so on. But, you know, there is a feeling of that it's tighter, you know, that it's just all a lot more compact.
Sure.
Having said that, you know, it is Disney, so it is built out like Disney, and all the Disney touches are there, you know. We went over and we did Autopia twice. We did, the lines were shorter too, by and large. And I don't know if that's because everyone was over at California Adventure or, you know, I've been told that Disneyland is more of a local destination than Disney World, which is more of a vacation destination. So
right.
That, you know, at Disneyland, there's a lot of locals that go in and out, you know, because they can just, you know, hop over there, you know. If they live half an hour away, they can just drive over there and go in for a day and come back. It's even if you're local to Walt Disney World, it's more difficult to just get in the park. So
right.
You know, I mean, overall, we had a great time. You know, we rode a lot of the same rides. We rode some different rides. We rode the Nemo submarine ride, which, of course, for those of you who don't know, is a refurbishment of the old 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which now doesn't exist at Disney World. But my daughter said she thought she wouldn't like it. She thought it would be cheesy, but she loved it. So, and I loved it because it was an old favorite of mine. And when it left Disney World, I was very disappointed.
Yes, and you know, for those of you who don't remember it, too young to remember it, it was truly a submarine ride. You would get in a submarine, you would climb down, you would be under the water, and you would go through the attraction. When it was 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, you would tell the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea story as you were going through.
Right.
And essentially what they did at Disneyland was refurbish it to make it Nemo and Friends and made it interactive and fun and, you know, entertaining in that sense. And at Disney World, they took it out completely, and that's where the new Fantasyland expansion starts, essentially.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. And all the old touches are there. You know, you get in the submarine, you're under the water, you're sitting in the middle facing out, you know, in the center of the submarine facing out and through your own porthole. And now they, of course, you know, in the 20,000 Leagues, of course, they had some animatronics underwater, but not much was actually moving or anything.
Right.
But with the Nemo one, they've put a lot of video screens in there. Of course, you can't see the screens the way they've embedded them, but they're underwater video projectors, so they actually have little Nemo scenes, you know, as you go by. You know, Dory will actually swim across in front of you and that kind of stuff. So it's very cool, and I loved it. And my daughter liked it a lot, too. We rode Buzz Lightyear three times, and she beat me twice. You know, we rode the Explorer canoes, which is another thing they used to have at the Magic Kingdom that they don't anymore.
Right.
But we had a ball with those. We did On Dimension, and we did Pirates.
Excellent.
I think they, you know, it's interesting because there are some differences. So Haunted Mansion, of course, the exterior is all different at Disneyland. It's a southern mansion. rather than the sort of Victorian mansion that's at Walt Disney World. But the queue is a lot shorter at Disneyland. And in the ride itself feels shorter. I don't know if it actually was, because I didn't sit down and time it in some of the scenes, but it seemed like there was a scene or two missing. And the one at Disneyland is just, it seems to be a little bit shorter. Pirates of the Caribbean was actually better, I think, at Disneyland. There are two drops initially instead of just one like you have at Disney World. And occasionally at Disney World, the one in Florida, you can occasionally see wires and things. At Disneyland, they had more smoke and more fog, and it kind of masked some of the supporting structure a little better. So I sort of had this feeling that it was more, you felt a little more immersed. You know, you were never taken out of it. So I felt like that one was a little bit better, but. You know, basically, it's the same thing. You know, it's still the wonderful yo-ho for, you know. So it was a great time.
That's awesome.
I tried to get my daughter to go on Indiana Jones, which is one of the rides that they had that they don't have in Florida, and she was afraid it would be too scary, so we didn't do that.
Did you get on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
No, we didn't get on Mr. Toad. It wasn't something that was really... I'm not a big Mr. Toad fan, so, and my daughter didn't seem to be interested, so.
Quite a ride. I was just curious, you know, that's one that disappeared from the Magic Kingdom along the way, so just curious how that went.
But, you know, again, it was Disney and it was wonderful, but again, it's very compact. When at the end of the day, we were done, you know, we had seen what we needed to see, and didn't feel like we missed anything. The only thing I should bring up is that when we were over at California Adventure, we saw World of Color, and I'm sure you've heard about that.
I have indeed.
That they've got.
It's supposed to be a very spectacular show, just amazing, actually.
It's incredible. It's just incredible, and I would recommend. And they've got a very interesting. They've got a very interesting setup for tickets to the World of Color. First of all, it takes place in the in their boardwalk area. I don't remember exactly what they call it, but it's the boardwalk area with the Ferris wheel and the and all the boardwalk stuff on it.
Is that Golden State? No, that's Paradise Pier. Is that what it's called?
Paradise Pier. That's it. It's a Paradise Pier area. And it's around a lake, kind of, you know, sort of a much smaller version of the one that's at the boardwalk area at Disney World, Paradise Pier area. But again, it's got a lot of sort of boardwalky rides. You know, it's got this huge Disney Mickey Mouse Ferris wheel, and it's got some other boardwalk rides. But what you do is you either get a fast pass or you get a dinner package. And that gives you a ticket to the preferred seating area. Now, you can stand anywhere on Paradise Pier and watch World of Color, but it's oriented so that it faces for the preferred seating area. So you want to get in the preferred seating area.
Gotcha.
Unlike Illuminations or something like that, where, you know, you pretty much stand anywhere in World Showcase and watch it. So, and what we did was we got a picnic dinner. They have a picnic dinner, and you go and you sit in the prep area, and you eat your picnic dinner, and then... You know, when the time comes, you move into the preferred seating area. And we say seating, there aren't any seats, you know. It's the preferred standing area. But we got in there, and we had a very nice picnic dinner. And, you know, for the cost of the picnic dinner and the preferred seating, you know, I think the two of us spent like, I don't know, $30.
Oh, yeah, worth that, sure.
They threw in a handheld sparkler, one of those motorized things that spins around with the lights on it, you know, to go along. And again, a very nice, you know, grilled chicken dinner. So it was a lot of good stuff. And then the show itself was just spectacular. For anybody who has not seen it, you can watch it all on YouTube, but it doesn't do justice to the fact of this beautiful fountain area in the water. There's an area in the water that they have 50 or 60 fountains in it. And then on top of that, they have an area where these mist curtains come down, and then they project animation on the mist curtains. And, of course, they play Disney music. And the show is just amazing.
And that whole concept of mist curtains, you know, you see that in the Pirates of the Caribbean at Disney World, too. It's astounding what they can do with that.
Yes, it's amazing. But you know how you go through the mist curtain in Pirates of the Caribbean and you see just the one face. You know, imagine that magnified, you know, 100 times so that it's across 300 feet and they're projecting, you know, movie scenes and Disney characters and other animation on there and playing music and, you know, having the fountains and flame torches going up and fireworks. It's just an incredible, incredible show. Classic Disney, wonderful stuff.
That's great.
I can't say enough about it. For me, that was the high point.
And I have a friend who goes to Disneyland regularly, and he was telling me the same thing. He goes, that's his favorite thing. Every time he goes, that's the one show he wants to see. And I'm like,
absolutely.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Disney's California Adventure, as a park, you know, the way they're set up is that the front of Disneyland, or the entry to Disneyland, the train station, if you will, faces the entry to Disney California Adventure. So you get a park hopper, you just, you know, you walk out of Disneyland, walk 100 yards, and walk into California Adventure.
Gotcha.
It's not what can I say? I understand that for a long time it had a problem with identity. You know, it didn't seem to have a unifying theme other than it's all California, but that could mean almost anything, you know. And you know, they've got Soarin' in there, but they've also got they've got the Bear Mountain, which is sort of the center of it. And then they got Paradise Pier over here, and it didn't seem to have it. It still, I think, has issues with that. But of course, they've just renovated the entry area and the main street area so that it looks a lot more. So it's like Hollywood from the 1920s when Walt, you know, arrived in Hollywood. That's the theme. And they have the red cars that existed in Hollywood at the time. And they have a statue of Walt and Mickey called Storytellers. And it's not like the partner's statue. It's put on the ground, and you can stand right next to Walt, you know. And it's a life-size human statue, and put your arm around him, and he and Mickey are there. But it's supposed to represent when he had just gotten there. So it was really quite something. But again, you know, the California Adventure, I think they have an issue with it doesn't really have a unifying theme, you know. You look at all of the Florida parks, and they're pretty much, you know, one unifying theme, but on each park. But the California Adventure, I don't know, not so much. It had a more disjointed feel to it, you know. I mean, you've got the Hollywood, and then you've got Cars Land, and then you've got this Paradise Pier area, and they sort of don't.
They kind of don't go together, yet they go together. It's kind of, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Having, you know, looked at the park maps and so forth, I get the sense of it. But it's, you know, it's like putting a bunch of things together. All right, sure.
Yeah, I think adding Cars Land, and I was listening to Lou Mangello's podcast last week, and I think adding Cars Land does make it more of a destination, a reason to go see California Adventure outside of, you know, just for its own sake. Because I don't know that it was that unique before. Now it really is.
Yeah, because Cars Land gives it something that no other park has in the world. I mean, it's just so unique and so different.
Right.
I was taking a look at the new Art of Animation resort they just opened at Disney World. That's the Cars Art of Animation, and they've got some elements, but it's not the same interactivity. It's, you know, it's just kind of some things, right? So it doesn't really capture that same imagination. So that is truly unique and very interesting.
Right. Mm. Yeah, definitely. It definitely is something very, very special and very unique. But, you know, having said that, I don't feel the need to go back to Disneyland next year. It again. You know, and like I said, my daughter and I were there for 2 days, and we missed some things, but I didn't feel like we needed another day, you know. So
interesting.
But I'm still a Florida boy, so that's, you know.
Sure, there's that. You know, I'm with you. I'm still a Florida guy. I still love it that way. That's my deal. But that's okay. I still have to give some love to the other parks once in a while because they all have that Disney feel to them. I mean, they all work in some way. It's on some level.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I would definitely recommend that, you know, if you're a Disney lover, you need to go there. And not just because that was the original park. You know, we rode the monorail. It doesn't really go anywhere at Disneyland. You know, unlike Florida, where it's a real honest-to-God transportation system, at Disneyland, it's more of just a ride. You kind of ride around in a loop, and you come back and get off, and you can get off on the other end of the loop, but, you know, it's not like riding it to Epcot or even from the Ticket and Transportation Center to Magic Kingdom, you know.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's something special that Disney World has. And again, the blessing of size made the difference there.
Oh, absolutely.
Where Walt had a vision for what it was going to be, right.
Yeah, and, you know, I think I mentioned this earlier, I think it's pretty well known that Walt was not pleased with the way the community kind of sprung up around Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my understanding, that, you know, he was kind of disappointed at all the sort of quick service, cheap stuff that, you know, the stuff that grew up, the stuff you see in Florida, but it's just the parks are so big in Florida that it's kept a long way away. You know, when you're driving to the Magic Kingdom, you have that long, wonderful, empty road to drive down, and then you see the welcoming arch, and then you drive, you know, further down, and then you see the gates, and then you drive further to the Ticket and Transportation Center. All this builds the anticipation, you know.
Yeah.
Disneyland, you know, we stayed in a hotel that was, you know, probably about as close to the main gate as the contemporary as the main gate of Magic Kingdom.
Hmm.
Except it wasn't a Disney motel, you know, it was just a little place. It was a very nice place. It was called the Candy Cane Inn.
The Candy Cane Inn. I've heard of that one. Just because, you know, it's a place that's so close. I've heard that mentioned before. It's funny.
It is. It's a very nice, but it's, you know, it's a very compact two-story motel. Like I say, it is very nice. You know, they have a great continental breakfast, and they have a pool. You know, it's old, and they keep it very clean. I would recommend it to anybody that wants to go. But it's not a Disney space, and, you know, it's very hectic. And you walk out of your room and you walk, you know, maybe 5 minutes down the street and turn left and you're in the area between the two parks. And you turn right and you go into Disneyland and you turn left. But as you're walking down Harbor Boulevard, which is the street that it's on, you know, across the street there's a Ramada and a Days Inn and a Denny's and a this and a that, you know. And, you know, they're literally shouting distance. They're closer to the main gate of Disneyland than the contemporary is to the main gate of the Magic Kingdom. So it makes it, you know, it doesn't ruin the magic, I won't say that, but you don't have that sense of anticipation that you get as you're driving, you know, up the Magic Kingdom. And even as you're leaving, you know, suddenly you're out in the real world again. It's a little bit jarring, you know. So,
yeah, that was always one of my favorite things about Disney World. Even when you're leaving, you have that moment of, I'm actually leaving. You know, you feel it for a few minutes while you're driving away.
Yeah, you have time to kind of, you know, adjust yourself.
Yeah, exactly, because, whoa, I'm leaving Disney World. I'm going back to the real world. Wait a minute.
So, they had that issue, and there's nothing they can do about it. You know, they can't buy up the 25,000 acres around them like they could in Florida.
Right, right.
They do a great job with it, but the lack of room really, you kind of feel it. You feel almost, you kind of compressed in at Disneyland, at least I do.
Interesting.
The Magic Kingdom I always feel is open, and even when it's crowded, you know, there's lots of room, and you can always find some place to get a step away from the crowd and everything else. And at Disneyland, it wasn't quite that way.
Very different.
But it's interesting to see that, the original place, the real number one Disneyland.
Right.
And again, it's got the Disney touches in it. The rides are the same, and you can do all the same stuff that you can at the Magic Kingdom, pretty much. You walk down Main Street, you can get baked goods, you can get an ice cream cone, you can get Mickey ice cream. I know that's important to you, Dave.
Absolutely, as you know. It's one of my favorites.
Absolutely. So, it's definitely Disney. It's just that if you grow up with the other parks, if you grow up with the Florida parks, it can be a little... Not quite as impressive as you might have hoped, but still, go and have a wonderful time because you certainly can.
And I think that's the key is, people should go and just have a wonderful time, whichever park they choose, whether you happen to be in Europe and you go to Disneyland Paris, or whether you happen to be in Tokyo or China or Hong Kong or whatever.
Right.
Go and enjoy it because each one of them has their own unique charm anyway, but they all have that Disney feel to them. That was one of my favorite things when it was still called Euro Disney. When I went to Euro Disney, it was as soon as I walked through that gate, I felt like I was in a familiar place. Here I was in another country doing, seeing something, some other things that were different outside the park. But as soon as I walked through the gate, I felt like I was home, right back in the same place that I knew.
Absolutely. I mean, you walk through the front gate at Disneyland, and there's Main Street, and there's the firehouse, and you walk down Main Street, and there's the Emporium, or, the equivalent, and the things that you recognize, and there's the castle, and it's not the same castle, but it's the castle.
Yep.
And there's Tomorrowland is on your right, Frontierland is on your left, and, you recognize it. It's you feel at home, and of course, it's the same atmosphere. The cast members are wonderful. The food is, it varies, but it's the same food.
Right.
No surprises there. So it's not, you don't feel like you're out of place in any way. Things are, if you go looking for the Haunted Mansion, you kind of go in the same direction through the park, but when you finally get there, it looks completely different. So you blink for a minute and you go, it's on the mansion, and they've got a carriage out front with an invisible horse in the harness, and, the ride attendants in their Victorian costumes, and telling you to please move to the dead center of the room. It feels very much if you feel at home at Disney World, you would feel at home at Disneyland.
That's cool.
So
that's the important thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, very cool. And it sounds like you had a great trip, and that's, that's the other part of it. You and your daughter had some nice time to bond and enjoy yourselves. And
oh, sure.
And that, that's some of those happy memories that you make as you go through life. And that's very cool. So very cool. Thanks for taking some time with me today to talk about Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure and telling us about Cars Land. Cause that was the question I had, just having seen it, it whet my appetite, and I'm like, what was it like? Was it really like the video they showed, or was it, something different? It sounds like it's very much like it. So that is my podcast for this week, and thanks for joining me. And remember, if we can dream it, we really can do it.
Thank you for taking a ride with us on the Dave's Disney View podcast. Show notes, more information about this podcast, and about other great podcasts on the web, can be found at disneypodcast.net. Also, you'll find some links to Dave's iPhone applications. See and share hidden Mickeys or organize your pins when you go pin trading. Our thanks go to Craig, also known as Sounda Music. Craig produced the original music you hear in this podcast. You can find Craig's work at ReverbNation.com/SoundA. Also, our thanks go to Doug at GeekAcres.net for his continued contributions to the show. Now, please gather your personal belongings and watch your head and step as you exit. Show number 106.